Welcome to the Azure Podcast, a series of short discussions on various topics related to the Microsoft Cloud Platform. Your hosts, Kale Teeta, Evan Basilek, Russell Young, and Sujeet DeMello discuss a specific topic on each show to give you a high-level overview of that topic and resources to get more information, should you wish to dig further. For more information on our show, please see our website at azpodcast.com.
Okay. Well, welcome back to the Azure Podcast. This is episode number 217, being recorded on the 21st of February, 2018, with special guests, Olivier Nano and Rui Ronan. And my name is Sujeet, and on Skype with me, I have Cynthia Crang, our other co-hosts, as well as our special guests, Olivier and Rui. And we're going to get to them in just a minute on an interesting topic, one that is talk about something that we use on the podcast ourselves, and we'll get to that. I don't want to let the cat out of the bag just yet. There's a couple of updates we want to bring to your attention, to our listeners. One of them I'm very excited about because this is something that I know my customer has been asking for a long time and waiting for it, and this is support for automatic image updates in VM scale sets. As you know, VM scale sets, you could you deploy your images from the gallery, and once you deploy it, traditionally they've been yours to maintain and manage, and you'd have to, you know, if there's an update, you have to make sure that they get updated in a correct way, and if they have to, you know, as normally when you do an update, you have to reboot, and so you want to make sure that only one machine is being rebooted at a time and whatnot, and that used to be something that had to be done, you know, in some kind of scheduled way, and now that support for automatic OS image updates in VMSs is finally here, and I'm expecting a lot of people to take advantage of that. Essentially, you know, the service will automatically apply the update and then take each of the machines out in a very controlled way and update them, put them back in, and so on and so forth. Well, another piece of news that just came out this past week is EventGrid. And the news is that EventGrid has finally gone GA. And just, you know, we've never done a show on EventGrid, but for those that are interested in it, what EventGrid solves is problem of us having to poll for various events in Azure or within our system. You know, we're constantly polling to see if something's done, if something's ready, and if that thing is ready or done, we take some action on it, right? And when you have to do when you're looking for a whole lot of things that you have to poll for, it can get pretty complicated. It's a waste of resources constantly having to poll for things. And so EventGrid solves that problem. And what it does is you can point to something that you're interested that you would normally be polling and say, hey, when you see this happen here, do this, right? Fire off another webhook or send a message on an event hub or whatever, or call this logic app. Or better still, just call a serverless functions application. And so what EventGrid takes that chore that you have to do of polling and makes it completely scalable, and you just pay per execution. Okay, those are a couple of updates for this week. There's nothing in addition to that I want to share. So let's get right to it with our special guest. I'll start with you, Olivier. Do you mind introducing yourself for our listeners?
Hi, Sujit. Yes, absolutely. I'll introduce myself. So I'm Olivier Nano. I'm the dev manager for our speech services in Cognitive Service. And in particular, the one we're going to discuss a little bit today, it's custom speech. That's me. I've been at Microsoft for a while now and on different projects, but speech is one of those very exciting areas, and we're trying to make as much progress as we can.
Awesome. And which part of the world are you in, Olivier?
Me and my team are actually based in Munich, Germany.
Okay, great. Thank you. And Rui, yeah, you the same, please?
Hi, Sujeet. Yeah, I'm Rui. I manage the research / data science team for Video Indexer, which is also a cognitive service. I've been with Microsoft for almost 6 years now, and my team is based out of Tel Aviv, Israel.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for joining us today. So, you know, I got excited when I came across you guys on some internal DLs, and because we use the video indexer ourselves on the podcast, all of our episodes are indexed using that service. And I know this thing is still an evolving service, but give me a flavor, or give our listeners a flavor as to how you guys came about building something like this. What was the impetus to build this service on top of the existing cognitive APIs?
Back in the days where this started, it was already evident that video is going to be dominating the data on the internet. And indeed, the predictions when video is going to account for 80% of the internet traffic are only becoming nearer and nearer. So I think that the latest is that 80% of internet traffic is going to be video. It was supposed to be 2021, but now it's, I think, 2019. So that was a major motivation to go in and do video indexer. And what we do is we use various cognitive services and also develop our own algorithmic layer above them in order to mimic the cognitive experience of watching a video. And watching a video is like a multi-signal processing. So you see what's going on the screen, you can read text from the screen, you listen to either music, audio effects, and speech, of course, and then you have to combine all these together with what you know about the world and with what you learned from the video. So just to give a few examples of what we extract from the video, so the people who are on the video, either just people who are identified, and also celebrities out of almost the 200,000 celebrity model that is coming out of the box. And you can know without having to watch the whole video who appears when during the video and jump right there, right to that point. It's not only a nice UI, it also gives you a structured JSON file that you can process in mass and do deep search on the videos, understand insights, statistics about your video assets. And by the way, more and more companies, we see that video is just so dominant. We see that even small companies are no longer able to manage their video content. So even small businesses will now have thousands of videos that they need to manage, and they need to have business value out of. And this is our business. Like how to unlock the data from the video asset.
I just want to ask you a quick question about that, Rui. You mentioned about this just JSON file that you exposed, which I was not aware of. Can you elaborate a little bit more on that? How does that work?
Yeah, so you upload, like, usually the non-automated experience is that someone comes and upload their video into Video Indexer, like probably what you guys are doing with the audios, and then you can watch them and you can search them on the Video Indexer portal. That's one use case. Another use case is when people just give us a lot of videos, like a bunch of videos, a lot of video assets.
Like a complete batch thing, yeah.
A complete batch, and then we give them back a batch of JSON files. And the JSON file is a structured index of everything that appears in the video. So I talked about faces, about people's faces and celebrities, but it's also a lot of other structured data that we give. So, for example, the keywords from the transcript, what are the sort of, I won't call it topics, but it's just keywords that give you a quick sense of what's going on in the transcript, or visual annotations, things like here there is a computer, or this is a boat, and where they appear in the video. We also added a few weeks ago a brand detection model. So if you have Apple, for example, in the transcript, the model disambiguates if it's Apple the brand or Apple the fruit, and gives you just the brand. So this has been an ask that we've been getting from customers to detect brands and disambiguate them from the context. We also analyze the sentiment of the speech. So when it's good sentiment, bad sentiment, we also separate the transcript to speakers using an algorithm from MSR that we adopted from MSR that knows to how to detect the imprint of your voice, you know, when you are speaking and when it's another person who is speaking. And that helps a lot to query your video and audio assets. And basically the transcript is coming from other cognitive services. And Olivier's team has been helping us with customizing it to the customer's needs, customizing the transcript.
Oh, that's very interesting. Olivier, can you elaborate a little bit more on that customization feature?
Of course. As you know, we have a range of speech services, we also, when we were offering the our speech API, our Bing Speech API, we also had a lot of customers who asked to be able to, for example, there are certain words that were in very specialized domain that we were not doing a very good job at recognizing. And so that's why we developed the custom speech service, which enables us in those particular situations where, or on one end, the acoustic environment is very difficult for the main speech recognition to work, or when the language that is actually used is also very specialized, that we can actually customize the language part of the recognition, the language model. And so we have that service called Custom Speech that enables you to bring or acoustic data, so audio, or actually language data, to customize the speech recognition to improve the quality of the transcription. And we worked together with the video indexer team to actually plug the video indexer and the customization speech features together. So when the customers basically bring video material, he can also bring textual information with it. If he has a document that represents the type of context or the words that are going to be used in that video, or say if it's very specialized about like we're having today, we're talking about things in Azure, etc. And so we can bring the Azure vocabulary in there. And so what's going to happen in the back is that we are actually going to train with that new set of vocabulary, build a specialized model, and do the transcription based on those adapted / customized model. And so in general, we get an improved accuracy, and we measure that through looking at what we call the word error rate. And so the lower, the better. And so if you're bringing video in video indexer talking about the medical domain and you bring medical data, then we're going to be able to do much better, and et cetera, et cetera. So that's the main new features that the custom speech enables with video indexer, is to get higher quality transcript.
That's very useful, actually. And I'm just something that I might have to look into myself, because I know when we do the transcriptions of the show, of the podcast, a lot of, I guess, what we consider technical words get misconstrued sometimes in the transcription. So you're saying that if we put together a list of those kind of that vocabulary and pass it on to the video indexer, that can be understood as like a customized speech thing? Is that what you're...
Absolutely. So, for example, when I think about the introduction you made talking about what are the new things in Azure, for example, we could take the email that is sent by Azure to customers about those things, for example, and put it there. And when you talk about it, all of the names of the product will be actually recognized much better. And so that would definitely help to have a custom language based on all of the terminology of the names of the products in Azure, for example.
Excellent. Now, I know, Roy, you were asking me about whether we have the podcast in multiple languages, and I know that that's one of the things that Video Indexer does. It recognizes many other languages besides English. Is that correct?
Yeah, Video Indexer works in all the 10 languages that are currently offered by Bing Speech. The adaptation, the speech customization works in English and German, and we're constantly adding more languages to that list. And I just want to refer to what you guys spoke about a minute ago about technical terms. So those listeners who are interested are most welcome to see the blog that we've published about custom speech and video indexer. They'll be able to see a technical presentation that using simple adaptation, it's about Azure technologies, actually, and using simple adaptation, just taking the documentation that is available on the web, you see a huge boost in the transcription quality. So that's available online for the listeners to go and see.
Excellent. So you don't have to really, you know, try to type out those special words. You just pass it like a blog post or something like that.
You could do both. You could, in our case, we did two examples, one which we typed, another one is which is more localized, like a quick cycle. And if you want to do more, if you have a lot of Azure, if you have a lot of speech about Azure technologies, you may want to do something like sort of an adaptation package, quote unquote, and take all the relevant data and put it up there.
Okay, very good.
So, Roy, just following on that, that we were talking about it being able to translate different languages, I was curious, since you talked also about that it could analyze the sentiment of the speech, how would that take account into, say, different cultures have different ways of expressing emotions?
Yeah, so what we currently do is, well, first of all, just to be precise, we transcribe out of 10 languages, and then we allow translation into more than 50 languages. So that's about the difference between transcription and translation is the number of languages in which for which we offer the services. Regarding sentiment analysis, so if there is a native sentiment, a cognitive service that does sentiment analysis for the language, then we do it natively. Otherwise, we translate to English and then do the sentiment analysis.
I see. So you take some of the language, translate it to English, and then try to figure out what that meant over there.
Yeah, if we need to fall back to that, we do that. So basically, sometimes translation does account for cultural differences. Sometimes more, sometimes less, but this is how we tackle the problem.
Okay. Now, the amount of, it seems like you have, I'm trying to figure out, like, under the covers, this uses most of the existing cognitive services and Bing speech APIs. So technically, somebody could build something like Window Indexer with available APIs. Is that a fair statement?
It would be a very basic one, because we, like a Video Indexer, we don't just take cognitive services and package them. We also solve a lot of last mile problems. Let me give you just one simple example, but there are many such examples. Keywords. So the keywords, if you take just a textbook algorithm for keyword extraction and put it, operate it on data that is coming out of a speech-to-text engine, you won't be getting good results, because speech has different characteristics than written text for which these algorithms were designed. So what we do is we solve the problem for video or for audio by creating an adaptation of known algorithms or a combination of new and old methods and traditional methods in order to solve the problem for speech. So if you just take speech and put it there in a keyword extraction algorithm, you will not be getting the same quality that you get in Video Indexer. Another example where you use different channels of the video is, for example, in our OCR extraction. So OCR is optical character recognition. If you think about a video, what we intuitively do as humans, if part of the word is blocked, and then a second after the other part of the word is blocked, we consolidate the two parts together, and we know what word appears in the video. But for OCR packages, they usually work on single frames. So Video Indexer solves that problem by consolidating the fragmented strings that you get from all the frames. And not only that, it also uses the transcript in order to do tiebreakers when we're not sure, when the OCR service is not sure, which happens quite a lot, not sure what it saw. Then we can also use the transcript in order to decide what word was that. So it is based on cognitive services, but it has another layer, which is the video layer that combines the multiple dimensions of a video.
Yep, I got it. Of course, that's very clever. Though some of the things that you just talked about, some good stuff there. So, under the covers, I'm guessing this is using a bunch of Azure services to do some of the processing of the videos and whatnot. Is there anything you can share about that? About some of the kind of underlying architecture for Video Indexer?
Yes, we're heavily using Azure Cognitive Services. So this is the bread and butter, so to speak, and then we pack them into a product that is specialized and optimized for video. So when you have a visual channel, an audio channel, and sometimes a textual channel within the visual channel, so that's the OCR part. And then combining all of these, like the Video Indexer, gives you a whole which is more than the sum of its parts.
Okay. No, I guess my question was more like, do you run this in Azure PaaS services? Like, you know, how is this actually hosted in Azure? Like, what other compute methods do you use in Azure? Azure Batch
we use some Azure Batch in the background. We use obviously we use a lot of SaaS and we use which are the cognitive services. We use a lot of IaaS machines in the background, so we have some auto scaling that we do. So we use all the usual suspects of the Azure stack.
So I think that's one of the interesting things, you know, that we talk about this on the podcast periodically, right? Some of the things you talk about the auto scaling and the like are things you couldn't do if something like the Azure Cloud didn't exist, right? Because in an on-premises world, you'd have to spin up, you'd have to pick, you know, some number of servers, and you would always either be over capacity or under capacity.
That's absolutely that would be in order to do what we do today. The amount of videos that we're indexing, we would have to have a huge on-premise data center. It would just be too expensive. It wouldn't be an efficient model. But using the auto scale that Azure gives us, it makes all this possible at a reasonable price.
Right. So, you know, so when customers are using the product very heavily, you scale up to meet that demand. Right. And then for whatever reason, when the demand drops off, you scale back down to just, you know, some minimum at that
Absolutely.
Point.
Absolutely. And this is a huge saving that we're getting out of using all these technologies.
Excellent. That's some great information there. Thank you so much, guys. I think this gives us a good understanding about the Video Indexer and the custom speech engine, as well as how you run it on Azure. Cynthia, Evan, any more questions for our guests before we let them go?
No, thanks for coming on. It's neat to hear kind of some of the details about how this is implemented and what you kind of some of the layers and the thinking that you use to design it.
Okay.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it was great. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you have any comments or questions, please use our Twitter handle at Azure Podcasts. Background music has been taken from ccmixter.org under the Creative Commons license. Thank you, and see you next time.